That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this July 22nd, 2023. Bright, sunshiny day here at the Radio Ranch, and we have got a full crew on this morning. We'll bring everybody on. And Josh, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And from up top, up a little bit further north, Brother Zach, good morning.
Good morning.
And also, Brother Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And then right out of the middle of the heartland, Tim, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we welcome you this morning as well. We say thanks for joining us. Thank you for the emails and the calls that let us know that you're joining us and tuning in. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. But we'll certainly open up in prayer first. Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day that you've made. And we just ask that you continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we're to go. We pray, Father, that you be with the remnant across this land, Father, and that your people could just continue to turn their hearts and their minds back to you, Father. And we pray, Father, that you just do a mighty and an awesome work. We pray, Father, that you war with those that war against us, that you continue to fight with our enemies who are your enemies, Father, who continue to just continue to come against us on so many different fronts. We hold up that shield of faith and call for any and all fiery darts of the evil one to be extinguished. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Well, Brother Josh and I were talking right before the program just a little bit about the weather, and almost all over the country, record heat once again. Phoenix, I think, has been 14 days now over 110 degrees. That's a little hotter than normal. And it's back like that back east. Was talking with some people in Virginia, and almost 100 degrees there with almost 100% humidity. And summertime is just that way. We've talked in the past about the extremes, that summertime is hot in this country for the most part. But it sure seems like it's pushing that. Of course, the enemies, those that want you to look at elsewhere, they'll talk climate change and have to stop having internal combustion engines and get rid of all the cattle to get rid of the methane to fight this global warming. I have to think that they don't want it to warm up. It sure seems like it might be warming up. I'm not blaming climate change for it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But it sure seems like it is warming up. We kind of keep an eye on it out here, mainly because of the wildland fires that usually follow that excessive heat. And we haven't seen them this year. I think because the heavy winter rains, the heavy winter snows that changed things out here in the West, kind of brought most of the West out of, or at least leaned it out of the drought that it's been in. But things are drying up, and we are starting to see some fires around like we normally do. But that record heat, especially down in Phoenix and places like that, of days going on weeks now over 110 degrees, seemed a bit excessive to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not paying attention to it normally.
Well, we know it, like you and I were talking about. I mean, it's especially here, the weather changes. It's a cycle, and if you don't like it, hang around a little while, you know, and it'll change. But as you were talking about that heat, I was just thinking about what a blessing that heat is. And you got to be smart, just like anything else. But you know, you got to make sure that you're properly hydrated, and you got to get acclimated. You don't want to just start jumping out there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when it's at its hottest. But if you get out there in the mornings and get that transition and get used to the heat, it's so good for us to be drinking more water and to be sweating out, you know, those impurities and detoxing, because there's definitely plenty of, plenty of poison out there that we're taking in. And that's one thing with the summertime, you know, the longer days and the heat, you sweat more and you detox and you get more done. And it's just a different season. And the way that God's got everything set up perfectly, they all work together hand in hand. And if you look at the big picture, it's good for us. And you might get a snapshot of, oh, well, it's 110 and, you know, blah, blah, this is terrible looking at one little picture of it. But if you look at it more as a video, you know, you get those time-lapse videos of the seasons and all, you understand that it's made perfectly just like he's intending for it to work. And, you know, there's good in everything, even those wildfires, you know, whenever everything burns off and, you know, you burn up those weeds and you put the nutrients back in the soil and, you know, you're better off behind it. So it's all part of God's plan and his cycle for the land to rejuvenate itself and for us too. You know, in the wintertime, you're cold and cooped up and you're not getting that sunshine and vitamin out there being in the sun, and you know, everything's and it's in the right time.
Amen. Agreed. Well said.
Yeah, and then there's other places like Colorado and Wyoming where we've had more sweatshirt days for July than I can ever remember. And
I'll rub it in. Yeah. Cooking in Texas.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, on another note, I saw something that was pretty interesting today. I mean, you know, there's you know, it was out of Italy, and you know, Italy is one of those pretty woke countries, I guess is the way to put it. But Miss Italy beauty pageant bans biological males from competition. Italy beauty pageant Miss Italy has banned biological males from entering its competition. The person that oversees the nation's beauty pageant said only women since birth are welcome to compete while she is in charge of the event. And, you know, I mean, it's sad that it's got to come to that, but it's, you know, people are making a stand and they're realizing that, hey, you know, this is wrong and we've got a problem with it. So, you know, we see things getting bad. And I mean, it, and it's a shame that you should even have to have rules and regulations like that. But, you know, that's the state that we're in. But people are on a lot of different fronts as far as these athletes and stuff are concerned. Governors of states are coming up and they're saying, hey, no, you know, you can't have somebody that was born a male competing in against women in a swimming competition or a weightlifting competition or stuff. So they're getting the backlash, and that's good. I'm seeing that in a lot of different places, and I was actually surprised that Italy would do something like that. But, you know, there's people that are getting fed up with this crap all over the world, so that's really good, and that's encouraging.
So not picking on you, but just to prove a point, how many people do you know that are for, like, these 12-year-old children being able to have gender reassignment surgeries?
I personally don't know any. No, but I don't associate with those kind of people either. But I know that they are out there.
I'm not saying that, like, you have, you know, have them over for supper or whatever, but I know a lot of people. I work with a lot of people. I do business with a lot of people. Know of even more people. I don't know a single person that is for that. And it's kind of hand in hand with the topic that I was thinking about is, you know, knowing the battles that we're fighting and, you know, recognizing the war. I was listening to a podcast this week and they were talking about how, you know, these other countries put so much time and effort and money into the cyber attacks. And whereas, you know, not as far as trying to steal your identity and get to your bank accounts, but creating all these fake Facebook accounts and Twitter
profiles
stuff, and then just inundating these social media platforms and the news, you know, creating fake news too, with these fake people that are all pushing this agenda. And you guys thinking about, you know, and that's not anything new, but when you really dig deep into it and you think about it as a numbers wise, I know thousands of people and I know you probably know way more than I do. And I don't know anybody that is for, you know, that position of children being able to, but I do know that this is a movement that's, you know, picking up steam and it's made it to, law in some places. I understand California's already passed it, and you know, just that's an unseen enemy that's there that's sowing up strife, and you know, a house divided cannot stand. And we need to recognize that the numbers aren't what they look like. You know, it seems like there's so much support for this, and that's a bunch of crap. You know, it's not.
I think you make a good point as far as like the fake Facebook accounts, Twitter accounts, whatever. I'm not personally on either of them anymore because I recognize that even the people that I did know that were putting stuff up, like I see you quite regularly and I kind of know you're full of crap. So, you know, I just kind of got out of it. So I'm not involved in any of that. But, you know, you do look at, and I've heard that before, like these fake accounts written by these, you know, these bots or whatever they call them, you know, they're putting this idea out there, but you see the younger generation responding, you know, like when I was my son's age, you know, the thought of seeing a male dressed up as a female was unheard of. It was something that we talked about and it was a big joke. And then last week, me and my son in our town, at the gas station, seen two of them in one spot, you know. And then my wife was saying she took the kids out to the beach, and she's like, you can't even take the kids to the beach anymore because it's way worse. But you see these younger generation, this younger generation, they're susceptible to that. And, you know, I maintain that's bad. That's a lot of that is because of lack of parenting, lack of training. But it is definitely having an effect on this younger generation and they're acting out. And really what it comes down to, you're not gonna shield your children from seeing this. I mean, I was just getting a tank full of gas, and there's me and my son looking at that, you know, and we got to teach them how to react and like how to like, well, what's the proper thing to see or to think when you see something like this, you know? But the more I see it, the more I feel bad for those people because they are completely lost. They have no mental boundaries. There's been no mental boundaries put in their head. Like, and you know, they're loose cannon. And, I mean, it's their paths of destruction, you know. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, that's the point, is the saturation of the programming. And that's good, like, for you to get it, you know, don't have any kind of accounts. But that still doesn't mean that you're not affected by it, because you know, people's TikToks and Twitters and everything are put on the news. Even people that choose not to be a part of it are still affected. That's put on the news, and that's broadcast. And so this fake normal, which is being portrayed by a bunch of people who don't even exist, are influencing especially the young people and the ones that are more easily influenced of this is what's cool. And so you got a bunch of fake people that don't exist that are influencing our children, which are real people, into this is what's cool. And so then they want to jump on the bandwagon and be cool. Those two people that you were talking about at the gas station, if they'd never been exposed to that, they didn't think it was cool and the new hip end thing to do, they wouldn't be dressed that way and out there in public. And if we, the older generation, you know, didn't see it all around us, like it's the new biggest coming thing and there's nothing you could do about it and the world's coming to an end and, I'm just waiting on my ticket out of this hellhole, you know, whenever the rapture rocket comes and snatches me up, then you go yank that youngin' up by the back of the head and, you know, the scruff of the neck and say, hey, get your head on your shoulders out of your behind and get that crap off, you know. But instead we're defeated because, well, I see that everybody is for this, you know, just look on the news or social media or whatever. You know, this is the end thing, and what difference can one person make? So, therefore, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and act like I'm not seeing this because I know there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, you know, and then there's another thing, like my boy, like, you can as a parent, show your kids what is cool. Because what we have going on here is an attack on how a male is supposed to act, how a female is supposed to act. And as far as like these young boys, men, they're supposed to be protectors and providers. And we're supposed to be training our young men to be protectors and providers and fear God. And like, we are like, that's what our job is as parents and grandparents and as elders. And we're clearly failing. So like, I'll give you an example. This past week, guy calls me up and he wanted me to help him pour a big concrete job. And he said, can your boy come with you too? Cause we're going to need him because we're doing a big factory floor. And I was like, Roger that. And so I told my boy, I was like, hey, they want you there. The fact that those two guys that they look up to, and they, my boy knows that I have a lot of respect for those guys. The fact that they wanted him there literally made his day. And he went out there, and it was an 8-hour straight pour, and he worked his tiny little hot butt off. But that's the kind of example that, and because, and we're all sitting there talking about our wives and our kids and like what's going on. And really their life isn't much different than mine, and they have the same problems that I do. And he's sitting there listening to how we do, how we handle these problems. And sometimes it's the right way, sometimes it's the wrong way, but he's sitting there watching men with their guard down talk about all these things and how it's reacting. And we're sitting there working and we're providing. And like, he's seeing that, oh, well, these guys protect their wives and their children too, just like dad does. This is the kind of people I need to be around. So now when he looks at these guys at the gas station, he can just basically take, these guys are all out of their mind and disregard what they're doing. And that's what we need to do as husbands and fathers and examples. So, like, I don't even have to explain it to him. He already knows because he saw it.
Well, and that's, and you're building that team, you know, and mm-hmm. next time he gets to a situation where he can work with those guys, like, he's got that bond, that brotherhood, yep. you know, and they know what to expect out of him, and he knows what to expect out of them. And he's seeing firsthand that, okay, well, I can have fun working. You know, it's not just a drudgery, and I make money whenever I work. And all of those lessons that young people should be learning, and he's watching you and seeing the pattern that you lay for. Now, if we all walk around here with our behinds kicked, you know, Pastor Peter says it's a long face, we could eat oatmeal out of a boot. Is that something... Does your son want to be miserable and be beaten and beat down and, you know, part of a drudgery that's just going to be his existence for the rest of his life? No, he's not going to want to be part of that. And so, therefore, if he, I don't have a nice way to put it, if he's got any sense, he's not going to try to be like you. Because apparently your life sucks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody looks at you and doesn't look like you're enjoying life or having a good life, then they probably not want to try to be like you. You know, so you got to be positive and not just be okay, you know, but be enjoying life and kicking butt and moving forward always. And there's,
well, there,
you and I talking. Go ahead.
There's a time for everything. There's a time to lay the hammer down, and there's a time to go fishing. There's a time, you know, there's a time for everything. And, you know, and I think it's what you're talking about, that is, know what balance is. And if you don't know what balance is, yeah, if you're just a workaholic and that's all you do all the time, then, you know, well, that sucks. Nobody wants to do that, you know. I know a lot of people that do. They bury themselves in work so that way they don't have to deal with their at-home problems. And that's not a good thing either, you know. I mean, that's a communication issue is what that is, you know. But, I mean, it keeps the balance. I mean, it's a tough job raising the next generation. But, you know, it could be very rewarding as well.
That balance, the only way you can achieve that balance is through that self-examination. And that self-examination is the same thing. Like, if you don't know that you're sinning, it's hard to repent of it. And so every day when we pray for God to forgive us of our sins, we need to be looking at ourselves and say, not only who am I, but who does the world see in me? Because that matters. It really does. You know, same thing in communication. It's not what you say, it's what the other person hears. And even if you are in a good place, in a good mood, if you're not shining your light, you know, if you don't make an effort to shine your light, well, then other people aren't going to be able to see by it. So you make a good point of that balance, and you know, you gotta have that. Me and Jason talk about it, and you, and so 100% transparency. Us three struggle with that because we like to work, and working is fun. But you gotta remember and realize that, you know, it's not all about work, and you gotta make life fun, and then enjoyable and all too. But the way that you see that is be constantly looking at yourself and seeing where you're at and making these small course corrections, hopefully every day, you know, not waiting until the train runs off the tracks and your kids don't want to have anything to do with you because you're not any fun.
And I've got to watch myself with that too. I mean, I got a 12-year-old that's the size of a 16, 17-year-old. And that's, you know, most people think that he's at that age. And I mean, I tend to look at him and think that he's a lot older. And sometimes I ask myself, you know, why is he so immature? And it's like, oh, he's only 12 years old. But, you know, it's...
But by today's standards, like, he is not immature. Like, by Jason's standards, he is. But
right.
By all of our standards, he's freaking great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, you know, and then I got to stop, and it's like sometimes just, you know, doing something, taking a few minutes and doing something fun for him just makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't, you know, he's not worried about when we get the project done and, you know, starting the next project and, okay, boom, 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 let's get out there and kick butt. I mean, he's all about that. But at the same time, then it's like, you know, it's taking a little bit of time and doing something that, making something, you know, special. If it's, you know, stopping in the gun store and looking at guns, or, you know, letting him stop at a garage sale and look and see if he can find a pocket knife or something like that. I mean, just something that out of the ordinary that is special to him, or something that means something to him, just goes a long way. And it goes a long way with their attitude and keeping the morale up, you know, when you're on the job site.
And I was thinking about this morning, perfectly hand in hand with the fact that these are the good old days.
Yep.
These are the good old days. Every day that we get up in the morning, you know, I've got mine from whenever I was a child. I remember this and I remember that. But our children, you know, my son don't have my memories of what it was like 20, 30 years ago. You know, he's got today. And later on, I won't have this time with them because they'll be grown, you know, and so these will be the good old days when I look back at when my daughter's 12 and my son is 16. So we need to think about that these are the good old days, and so make today what you want it to be.
And so many of us had grandparents and stuff too that would, when we were our children's age, we had grandparents that we would go spend time with. You know, I had grandparents on my mom's side of the family and on my dad's side of the family, and every summer we spent a lot of time with them. You know, we spent 2 weeks with them here or 2 weeks with them there. We'd either go to Minnesota or we'd go to Colorado, or you know, we'd go on a trip or we'd do something with, and that's something that you know, none of my children, they don't have grandparents on either side that they do anything with, or have anything to do with. It's you know, that's gone, and it's sad because I see that in so many families that it's, you know, they don't have, there's grandparents that are removed from the family and or simply not even alive. And you know, we've got to, now we're trying to fill the gaps of grandparents and parents.
You're right, because me thinking about, you know, talking about the good old days and thinking about my good old days, that's exactly what I was thinking of, things that I did with my grandparents. And because you get away with stuff with grandparents that you can't get away with your parents. Supposed to. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to get a little bit of spoiling in, and, you know, I remember almost getting my legs cut off on a dirt slip one time with my grandpa. But, you know, those good old days, those memories, like you said, are a lot of,
and as soon as you said good old days, that's what I reverted back to, and that's what I thought about is time with my grandparents.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like, my kids don't really have grandparents that are involved in their life either, and it does make things a lot tougher. And you know, I don't know what's going on between their ears, but I mean, I could go on and on about that, but. I would say the generation now that is in the grandparenting stage as a whole is they're really dropping the ball on being a good example and just helping out their kids. Because, you know, I remember when I was a kid, like, I'd go over to my grandparents on both sides of the family and it was a big deal. And, you know, I got to milk cows, I got to feed calves. I mean, it was all this fun stuff that, you know, like, even to this day, like, I sit there and, like, I see cattle and stuff like that, and, like, it catapults me back to when, you know, I was 10, 11, 12 years old. And, you know, and I still love cattle to this day because of the experience I had when I was a kid, because of my grandparents. They showed me how to do that stuff. And, you know, and it's really sad that the generation that is in that spot right now doesn't really seem to value that time, you know. But as it goes, time is going to pass, and then they might wake up someday and see the error, you know. But
well, that kind of goes back to that sermon that you preached here a while back, you know, with the older generation. And instead of buying a motor home and hitching up and, you know, going and traveling the country and not knowing your grandchildren, you know, I was sitting there talking about that. I'm thinking about skimming the foam off the top of the strawberry preserves as my grandma was getting it ready to can. You know, I'm sitting up on the counter and you had to wait for it to set, and then you could have that as a treat, you know. And so it's on us to teach our children those things that the grandparents aren't there to teach them for whatever reason. So I just like a shout out to your grandparents that are out there. You know, you're not going to be here forever, and the children aren't going to be young forever. So spend the time with them and be an influence in their life. Because when we talk about, we're training our replacements, and these, you know, are your arrows and your quiver. They're going to carry on the name, and we got to equip them to be able to be successful. If not, they're going to fail.
That's right. We have to be that example. Guys, let's try the phone lines real quick. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. God bless you all, man. I want to make a couple comments. Can you hear a reverb in my talk?
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. A couple comments. One, about that movie, Sound of Freedom. I think everyone should go see that. And I went to see it a week ago on a Monday matinee, and the whole theater was full, I'm sure, of Christians. So I think the word's getting out through the churches that the sex trafficking south of the border.
Yes.
And then about this, all these sex things, it's impossible to have a reassignment of your sex, because your DNA will never change. And then I think they could work same thing out as this movie if they would expose the results of what happens after what they call these Frankenstein surgeries. They, evidently, to change a female to a male, they take a muscle out of the arm and a muscle out of the leg and make a male part. And then, and put a PVC tube down it. And then on the other, way around.
Okay, I want to stay away from details like that on the radio here.
Yeah, I would too. But it's really ugly. So if they would let that out, I think people would just be running away from it.
Absolutely, it's absolute insanity for normal people to even think about that. It's like was said earlier, I don't know anybody that is for that. I don't know anybody that I know of that knows anybody that is for that type of stuff. It's a minority of a minority of a minority, a small part of the population that are doing it, but it's absolute insanity. It reminds me of when Pastor would say, you know, when the insane are running the insane asylum, when you're the only sane one there, they think you're crazy. And this, even thinking about these things is absolute insanity. And you're right about the Sound of Freedom movie. Highest grossing movie that's out right now, selling out theaters, increasing in theaters. And that's a good thing, that it's being exposed, that people are seeing that and standing up to it and saying, hey, this has to stop.
Amen. You're absolutely right. And thank you very much.
I'm not sure. I'm not a genetic expert, so I'm not sure if you can change your
DNA or not, but I do know you can absolutely change who you are as you fall away from God and fall victim to a depraved mind, and that changes your actions and it changes what you do, and that affects all the people around you. So,
you know, as we're thinking of talking about this too, I think that, and just the thought occurred to me, but see, the problem, well, one of the problems, and I'm not saying us here as a body or anything like that, because we've never have done that, but, you know, the problem is when people started just accepting homosexuality is accepting that into their families and into their lives and into their, you know, churches and stuff like that. It's like, you know, you can accept that crap where do you think it's going to end?
Well, that's the thing. It's one step at a time. They're chipping away. And back to that mob mentality and the mob rule, that's where we're at right now. It's follow the leader and the majority. And in this case, the majority is not even real people. And so that's where, that was the message I was trying to communicate is that there are real effects that are going on in our country right now everywhere, and it is working very well for them. Of imaginary situation, they're taking something that doesn't exist and affecting all of our lives with it, and pushing us in the direction of where they want us to be.
Amen. Well, caller, thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments.
God bless.
And you. 307-745-5913, and be glad to take your call. And Jason, I think you hit the nail on the head. When you start to accept these things, well, that ain't so bad, or everybody's doing it, or whatever it is, it's still wrong. If everybody's accepting it, if it's right or it's wrong. And that's where, again, based on what? Oh, based on what? Not on situational ethics, but on what the Word of God says. Sin, transgression of the law. And so many of the churches saying that law is done away with. There's no more law. Jesus took care of that. So how can you have sin? It's a double-mindedness that, again, like our pastor taught, has put the people in a spell to where they are accepting of this. And we're seeing the results, the demise in the land and of the people.
Well, that tolerance is the big deceiver right there. You know, how many people have I say, well, I don't really care what they do, but just don't push it on me. But that tolerance and what you're talking is double-mindedness ingrained in people. Last week I was in a coffee shop and they were talking about $2 bills. And I said, well, hey, you ever heard of a $3 bill? He said, no. I said, well, that's what queers use. Well, this lady piped up and she was pissed. She says, I got two in my family. And I said, if I were you, I would disown them. I said, that's wrong. And, you know. But yeah, she was ticked. I says, you know, and then another thing, the lady on the bar, her daughter got married to a woman, and she's going to the wedding. Are you going to the wedding? She said, well, yeah, my daughter. Well, I said, you don't need to go. But she did go. And then, but this tolerance that's in our brain, that we can accept that. You got to call it for what it is, and you're not going to be liked when you say it, but just say it.
I just can't imagine you ticking anybody off, Paul.
Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone line again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Just wanted to call and comment about the last caller and his comment, and he's right. We've got to peel back the layers on what they're doing in regards to, you know, the gender reassignment thing, because once you look into it, and I won't repeat anything I've learned about it, but some of the details I've learned recently about exactly what takes place in that is just horrific. And they've treated that the same way they've treated killing unborn children in the womb. They've sanitized it. Whenever the media refers to it, they, of course, don't give you any of those details of what's really going on in that process. And they're doing the same thing with this so-called gender reassignment surgery. I think the caller referred to it as a Frankenstein surgery. That's exactly what it is. So anyhow, just my two cents. You know, like I said before, I called in before, we got to reclaim language and call things what it is, and I think it carries over to describing things to what they actually are, too. So that's all I got this morning, guys. Thanks so much for the show, and God bless you all. Have a great morning. Take care.
Thanks. You as well. It is exactly that way. The homosexual is not a lifestyle. It's a death style. It leads to death and destruction all the time. All the time. The statistics point it out. The suicide rate among those degenerates is, the last time I saw was 10 times the, if there is a regular population anymore. That's just what's reported. So instead of addressing the problem, well, it's because they're embracing sin. Oh, well, we need to have more guidance counselors, and we need to have more laws against coming against that. It's insanity.
Well, and that is the deception and the spell that they're putting out there is that, well, this is what everybody wants. It's just like we've talked about it before. It's a 1% or whatever group, but they're getting all this press coverage. They're getting all these Hollywood actors to speculate and support their position. And the truth of the matter is that's not at all where we are. I mean, that's not who we are. That's simply that witchcraft spell that's going on over there. I mean, I just found, you know, we know that Sound of Freedom just hit over $100 million at the box office. The number one song on iTunes right now is Try That in a Small Town. I haven't listened to that. Supposedly it's, you know, interesting. But Disney's lost $900 million plus on their last 8 releases that are basically, you know, woke. And Disney World is empty. Bud Light and Target have lost billions over their stuff. So the silent Christian moral majority is a real thing. Of course, that hasn't changed anything from the media slaves out there who are just mouthpieces of filth. But you know, nevertheless, people are turning themselves toward righteousness. They may not have a handle on all of it, but they're like, So I think that's encouraging. I think that we need to look at that as a, and we need to continue to use that power of no. I mean, what do you have to do to be on God's side? I'd just be against evil. You know, be strong. Say no. That's a good start. And,
yes.
Pray about it.
Yes, that's a move in the right direction. A change, and that's good.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was saying that Garth Brooks opened a restaurant, and they asked him if he was going to sell Bud Light, and he's like, yeah. He goes, I'm not going to sit there, and I forget the exact terminology. Now, this is what this guy told me. He goes, I'm not going to sit there and worry about my business or however it was, like, about what a bunch of people that has brain worms think. Well, then he went and did a concert that was sold out. And then after he made that statement, like 3/4 or 80 or 90% of the people didn't even show up. And he had to have people come in, and like he had to tell everybody to come in and get close to the stage because the stadium was almost empty. So, you know, okay, well, you sit there and you think, you know, people sit there and think, you stop feeding them, stop putting your energy. And, you know, if you're a country Western music singer and you're going to be a liberal and you're going to make statements like that to a group of people that, you know, the majority of your clientele is conservative. What are you thinking? I don't understand the mentality. And why do they think that they can make statements like that? And they think that people are still going to show up and support them
because they're pulling out all the stops. That's
right.
They are frantically trying to get a handle back on the situation that they see is out of control because they see everything you're talking about, Zach, and they know that it's slipping away and it's all. And so that's why they're going all out. And back to the whole point of being able to see the battle around you. Being able to self-examine yourself, seeing where you're at. Okay, where am I full of BS? where am I lying to myself? Where is my hidden sin? And then seeing everything. Like, and I'm, don't believe us, what we're telling you, look at it for yourself. You know, look at your own group of friends and see who all is for this and who's against it. You know, look at everything, question everything. And, I mean, that's what we should be. Paul taught me that early on. You know, curse these trust. Man, you're not, we're not supposed to, because I'm going to sit here and tell you that I'm a liar. You know, I try not to be a liar. That's not, I'm not claiming that is who I am, but I have lied in the past. And every day I pray for forgiveness, and that I'll do better today than I did yesterday with that. But we shouldn't put our trust in each other, and not always even what you see, because you don't know if what you see is real or not. But we know by the law of God, by our word, that men are created as men and women are created as women. And that's what we need to teach our children, because God said so.
Amen.
And
yes.
And that needs to be where it starts and stops at.
Amen. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's a good thing to make sure we're teaching and sharing with the people that that we speak with. Let's try the phone lines again. Oh, lost that one. 307-745-5913. Go ahead.
Sorry, Richard. One of the things that I think is interesting and is when we see those people, just like Zach was saying, when we, you know, we say, well, I don't understand, or I've heard this from multiple friends, of course, as you can imagine, there's some talk going on, there's conversation about it, but, well, I don't understand what they're trying to do. I mean, you know, Bud Light, they did this, Target did that, this store did this, and, you know, they're losing business. I mean, you'd think they could figure it out, but those words right there sum it all up nicely. They are change agents for their master, Satan. They're not about the profit. They're about the change and about the wickedness that they can sow, the tares they can raise up. That's what they're about. And so, you know, that's what we see. I mean, if you can take something away from it, it ought to gel in your mind, or it ought to, you know, come to this conclusion that, yeah, they're not a business. No, they're a cabal of philosophical evildoers that are seeking to bring about destruction and ungodly acts of change. You know, so when we see that, that just kind of summarizes it. I mean,
oh, it does. Guys, let's try this phone line one time again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, man. Terry from Warrensburg.
Good morning, Terry.
Just wanted to let you know. This week was the first time in about 2 weeks I was able to ride my bike. And I built my truck Wednesday, and everything was fine. Thursday I had to do my shopping, so I had to hook up my trailer and they left shopping too much. You know, and my shoulders in constant pain. I ordered this new product. It's supposed to be stronger than morphine, called Tonal 2. I'm using that, and just it takes a while to your body to start using. But I'm putting up with it.
Well, Terry, I got a bad connection. You're kind of breaking up there, but glad that you're able to get up and move around, and we sure keep you in prayer, brother. We do. Glad that you're doing a little bit better. Got a bad connection there. Well, guys, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left as we kind of start to wrap up this morning. Don't know if you saw it.
I wanted to say that steeplehouse that I was raised in, they made me a deacon at a pretty young age, and I went in that room and I came out of it. I said, I'll never go back in that room again. And I basically have no respect for those people, and they're pretty prominent people in the community, you know. But then I took the youth group on, and I seen the condition of their children. They put it all. But this didn't just happen, folks. those people in that church were businessmen, and they could give a crap what the Bible said about anything. That meeting should have took 30 minutes, but everybody had their opinion. It took all night, and, you know, and I said, well, what difference do you make? What's the Bible say? You know, that kind of stopped the whole thing. But I'm just telling you, this didn't just happen. This Judeo-Christianity is double-minded. They give God lip service, but they turned Uncle Sam for their benefits. And it can't be both ways. And this whole thing has been put on our back because of our sin. You know, I was reading about in Jeremiah, where you told you I talked the other night, Richard, and it's you're going to be punished, but he is going to redeem us. And then we're in punishment, and I think he's exposing the tares, obviously. I mean, this thing, I mean, what they live for is money and stuff, and they're going down and still saying it. So they're true to their nature is what it amounts to. But you go back in television in the late 50s and 60s, they were undermining the male authority way back then. You know, they had two children. It was just very, very subtle back then, but it was still undermining it, you know, and it's small things that are mine. And it's come to a head. If you look at TV now, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, I read a book on the Amish the other day, and they have a phone like 300 feet for their house. Now, that's really good, and yet there is no TV. They got some really good qualities. They have no rest homes. They take care of the old. I mean, they got some really good stuff. You know, I think it could be done driving an automobile, but we got to look at ourselves. And, you know, like you talk about that movie theater filling up, and I mean, that's a really good sign. The Spirit of God is moving, so. And they don't all think like us. You know, I was reading one of Colonel Moore's books, too. He said, we always want to teach them the identity thing and stuff. We need to deal with their personal things before they would teach them that. They're not ready for that. And I'm guilty of it. You know, I always try to teach the identity, and they know, but no, they're not ready for it. So, I don't know. Made a lot of sense to me.
Amen. Amen. Saw some more good news coming out of Houston. Houston School District, 27,000 less children signed up for school this year, and that has resulted in 2,300 staff positions cut in the public school system just in the Houston School District. That is, I think, a continuation of the good news that we've seen in the past of, again, people waking up. Are there 27,000 less families there? No. But there's 27,000 less that are sending their children to the public school system. And again, I think that's part of the awakening, and that's a good thing.
Apocalypse means. It means awakening. So you have a lot of people waking up.
I was thinking about with the two callers and talking about the Frankenstein surgery and all that, and definitely understand where you're coming from. You want to be able to explain how terrible this really is, because it is, but also, too, you know, you can voice that, but you can't rationalize, you can't talk about facts with unrational people. You're not going to win an argument or a debate with somebody that the truth or facts has no weight with, no value. So I know that because I've been there many, many times and heard you other guys' stories. You know, you're just not going to win with that. It's got to start with God and prayer and just time. But you're not going to beat somebody with facts that the facts don't matter to.
Amen. Well, guys, the fact is we're out of time. I want to thank you, men, for taking time out of your busy Saturday and joining us and encouraging the remnant. Was encouraging to me. And so we thank you for that. And we invite you, join us for church tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. Thank you, Remnant. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 r
this country stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating.